Thank you, Lord. I love that. Take my heart. Take my mind. Oh, take my will. We've got to surrender all that to him, don't we? I want to just touch upon, in the time we have, the victory of Jesus is ours too. Do you walk in that today? And every day that we walk this walk out, and that it's important that we do that. We have been sharing a lot on Thursdays. You know, John has been sharing about the victory, and I just lost my train of thought here. We were looking at some of these things. But the power that's there, the things that we are battling, the things that we are more, that song, more than conquerors. We go forth not under our own power, but by his. So that's encouraging, and God's word is encouraging. Do you find his word encouraging to you? I hope so. I began to look at 1 John 2, 1 through 2, just the first two verses of 1 John chapter 2. And it says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So, you know, as we're looking here and as the Apostle John, as he's sharing here and writing these things out, he's trying to let the church, he's letting the people around him to know that we have an advocate. We've got somebody there, and it's Jesus. He's the advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Son. And he himself is the propitiation. Yes, propitiation. I see those letters all lined up. Propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for who? The whole world. So when we look at this, although the purpose here that John is writing to is to keep those around him that are reading his words, he's trying to keep them from sinning. Realistically, he knows that at some time they will commit an act of sin. In his grace, God has made a twofold provision to restore sinning Christians. It's like, what? Sinning Christians? We're not to sin. First, he has appointed Jesus as that of an advocate to plead the case. And that's, remember we last week shared about he's at the right hand of God the Father, the ascension of Christ after the empty tomb. He walked for 40 days. He arose and went into the heavens and sits now at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us. So we find that he is there. However, he's there to be our advocate, to plead the case of us, the sinners. He is certain to secure their pardon because he's righteous. Who's righteous? Jesus is righteous, right? And second, God has provided Jesus as the propitiation. Why can't I think about the pit in it? Propitiation. I got to think of a peach or something, the pit. Propitiation. There you go. There you go. For our sins. We find in an advocate, I want to look at that word wealth really quick in my Bible here and describe that. And we've probably have been through these. You know, we've been through the Word of God and we've looked at the definitions of these things, but they're so important to recall and to read it again and to keep pushing it down in us to know that he's there for us. Well, I've put down the wrong verse here somewhere. Let's see. If we looked at, I'm still there and I got this pin out of place. I'm going to look at the other part of that in 1 John 4:10 first and see if we can figure out where I'm at here. Propitiation. We find that in 1 John 4:10. In this love, and this is talking about, it's all through love. It's through love that Christ died for us. It's through love that keeps us where we're at. It's through his love that even as Christians, as we sin as Christians, it's still through his love that is there for us to cleanse us of that sin continually ongoing. But if we look at this propitiation, In this is love, not that we loved God, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. It talks about here that it's describing Christ through his sacrificial death. He is appeasing the wrath of God on account of sin, on account of us. It also pictures his death as an exemplary providing a covering for sin. This is just the definition of what we're looking at, this word. And by the means of the atoning death of Christ, God can be merciful to the sinner who believes in him, and reconciliation is effected. We find that word, an advocate. Where else do we find that when we hear of Jesus talking about when he must go? So who? The Holy Spirit could come as an advocate for us, a person that speaks on our behalf. So as we have Christ at the right hand of God, even though today as we have received his salvation, we are born again, we're going to heaven, we've got a lot of good things that we're to be a part of, that he is still there interceding for me. He's still out there working for you as we go through this life. Jesus is there on that right hand of God the Father. If I turn back to Romans really quick in Romans 8:34, we find that it says here that who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who is making intercession for us. Now you can look back in Revelations and we look at that. Well, who is what? Condemning us. Who is the condemner? The devil. Just a quick launch back. You can go to Revelations 12:10 and you can write it down if you want, or I'll just read it real quick. But it's going to say in Revelations 12:10 that, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down." So even though we're going through life, the devil is still there trying to bring accusation, still condemning the things that you're doing. He's probably trying to, "Hey God, look at this, look at what Tim did. Can you believe what he did?" And God will say, "Yes, but it's covered under the blood of Jesus." You know, if Tim is smart enough and I've got the filling of the Holy Spirit in me, when I have a hiccup and I think and I know by that of the Spirit that I've sinned. Sin is missing the mark. You know, we've talked about sin is what? Missing the mark that God has for you. Missing the mark could be a lot of things. It could be like, well, you should have said something and you didn't. God asked you to do that and you didn't follow through. God said, "Don't do that," but you did it and you followed through on that. That's sin. To know to do good and not do it is sin. All of these things are out there. And so our life is continually in a battle, but not in a battle. But we are in a battle because there's somebody out there that wants to destroy you, wants to destroy the Christian and try to condemn you to that of God the Father. But we've got who there right beside God, right-hand side of God? Jesus. Who do I go to? Jesus. Who is intercession for Tim? Jesus. And so we've got this constant thing that's in flux. Your walk today, it's in constant flux with the things of this world and the things that the enemy is destroying and doing and stirring in this world. And he's trying to do a good job of stirring up situations with that of even in the churches. He wants to create the dissensions in churches. He wants to cause churches to split. He wants to cause churches to have aught with one another within the body of Christ. And it's so important that as we look at ourselves as the family of God, that how many here know, even though you love your family, have you ever had some issues with your family? This is a good place to say amen. Amen. But it doesn't mean generally that we give up on our family. You might have it out. You might have a conversation. You might whatever, get the air cleared, whatever the case might be. Might be a time for apologizing. It might be a time for accepting the apology. It might be a time to step back and be the bigger person, to take the higher road, whatever that is. But we find that even in our walk in our churches, we need to be so tight of, we don't want the enemy to come in and destroy us. And he will put whatever he can, ought, between you to create that division, to create the separation, to create a split. We talk about, he will try to use the things that are within the church, and the ought that happens is to stir it up. And we've got to be wise to the scheme of the devil. And we've got to be willing to forgive. What's the mark of a good Christian? Forgiveness. What's the mark of a good Christian? To walk in love. To walk in acceptance. To be there to help. It's not to say what you're doing is right, or I condone that, or whatever. It's up to God to do these things, but he has put us together to where we need to be in love. Change my heart. Yeah. Conform it. See, there's a lot of change in us. And we are, as I look out to you, there's a lot of senior people here and youngsters, but a lot of seniors. And, you know, even in our hearts of today for the senior people, we are still being conformed to God. He is still working in our inner parts, our mind, our heart, to be able to develop these things. The thing is, don't stop allowing God to do that. Allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come in and to speak into your spirit, to speak about these things that are maybe troubling to wow, could God even be troubled by my actions? Yeah. By your actions? Yeah. But I got Jesus there at the right hand, still interceding for me, still that I can go to. Thank God he's not on that cross. Thank God that tomb is empty. Thank God he rose. Amen. And he's alive. And he's back in heaven. And now he's there where he started from, and he's back. But he is still doing what he was to be doing. He is still, as he was down on this earth, being about his Father's business. Now he's just in a different place, right back with God the Father, the Son. The Holy Spirit now has come, and he's leading and guiding us. So in Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who is making the intercession for us. We see here that Jesus is that advocate. He's our advocate in heaven, sitting there at the Father's side. He is securing our salvation. Our salvation was secured as we received him and confessed our sins and said, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. We've got our salvation secure, and he continues to provide forgiveness. How many here have been forgiven ever since you even received Christ for the first time? How many times daily that we probably walk in forgiveness because we have a hiccup. We step over the line. We do something that shouldn't have been done, whatever the case might be, but God is still there. And don't give up on yourself. Just because you had a situation, don't allow the enemy to speak into your ear to say, you're not worthy. You've blown it. Forget it. Go back to the world where you came from. It's waiting for you. The life you're living, you ought to just get back into the world. That's what the devil wants you to do. Get back into the world. But God is saying, no, don't go to the world. Jesus is saying, no, don't go back to the world. I'm here continually, ongoing, with forgiveness of sin on an ongoing daily basis. He's our advocate sitting there with God to provide forgiveness and to help us. Here it is, during times of, anybody here been tempted? Yes, he is there to help us in times of temptation. For he too was tempted. So he understands the temptations that the enemy, devil, Satan, places around you and tickles in your ear and tries to coerce you and tries to mix up the scriptures within you and what you've understood or learned or read in the Bible. The devil likes to take those things and just tweak them a little bit here or there. Maybe leave out that word if or but. And it sounds like, well, I don't need it then. That's okay. But no, if and buts are very important in the Word of God. But we've got an advocate, someone there for the propitiation of our sins. But Jesus is there. Everything that he did on this earth was a fulfillment of what was planned. Everything that he is now currently in heaven doing is a fulfillment of the plan of God. We talked about, too, I spoke of last week about in Hebrews, and that's in Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confessions. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, as we are also, yet he was without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. As a child of God, you need to realize, not just one time, but there's several times you are going to need to come, or you should go, to the throne of grace. And that you should be knowing that you can do it boldly. This, when we see this and says come boldly, is just reminding, or it literally means without reservation. You can go with frankness, with full and open speech. We approach the throne of grace, not of judgment, but obtaining mercy for the past and the grace for the present and the grace for the future. God is full of mercy and grace. Boldly. Let us therefore come boldly. Boldly is boldness. We find that in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You need to be a bold child of God. Timidity and, trying to shrink down because, I'm not important, or, I'm just little of this or little of that. I don't have the power. You have got the power. I've got the power in the name of Jesus. Though Satan, he's around and trying to coerce and trying to change and trying to move me into directions that he wants to move me, though he does not have the power. For I've got the power through that of Jesus and through the power of his blood for the salvation, but I've got the power working in me. Remember that song, that hymn, I got power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Back in the old assembly churches, we would get, remember Pastor Boris, and we get into that, and it's like, how many powers can you put into that song? Like, we have power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. We got power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yes. But you gotta know you got the power before you can even use the power. And the enemy wants to say you don't have the power because of this or that or your life or whatever the case. Even as a Christian now, he's going to say, well, you are not following him as you should, or whatever the case might be. That's the devil speaking those things. But you've got to remember that I do have the power. Not my power, but his power working within me. So we look at that as outspokenness, unreserved utterance, freedom of speech with frankness, candor, cheerful courage. Frankness, candor, cheerful courage. And the opposite of that is cowardness. You don't have to be, don't be a Christian coward. Know who you are in Christ and move forward. Do not have timidity. Do not have fear. When we look at this boldness here, it denotes a divine enablement that comes to ordinary and unprofessional people exhibiting spiritual power and authority. It also refers to a clear presentation of the gospel without being ambiguous or unintelligible. This word is not a human quality. This boldness is not a human quality, but a result of being filled. Filled with what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us emboldens us to go into those areas and to launch out into the deep and to go where God is asking you to go and to do what He's asking you to do and to know that He is there to help you succeed and be successful in these things. Because Jesus has overcome this world, we have His strength in us to do the same. In John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Are you living in peace right now? I know there's a lot going on, but we need to live in peace. Even when all hell is breaking loose around us, we need to walk in peace. Don't walk jittery. Don't walk like, what's going on now? Ooh. Don't be surprised, because God's word tells us these things are happening in the latter days and the children will turn on their parents and all of the craziness out there and the world is going to call good evil and evil good. All of these things that we read, and it's in His scriptures that were put there thousands and thousands of years ago. We're finding it evident of today, but they were probably having the same things of lies being told back in Jesus' day. You know, good is bad and bad is good. But we're seeing those things happening more readily. I think as a child of God, your spirit is alerting you to those things, isn't he? The spirit tells you to watch out, be aware, be cautious. Did you hear that? Does that make sense? How many here, if you ever watch the news anymore, you know, in a news report or when somebody is speaking about something, they can contradict themselves in the thing that they're even talking about if they would just listen to themselves. When you're sitting at home going, now, wait a minute, did I just hear them say that? But in the beginning, they said this. Or another one in that particular group will come out and speak something, and it's like, well, that's not what that other person was saying. They were saying this, but now they're saying that. You know, it's just a continuation of confusion. The devil wants to continually put this world that we are in a state of what? Confusion. Before we came to Christ, we were walking in confusion. We thought it was all okay. We were just going along with the world. No big deal. But then Christ comes into our life, and we surrender to Him, and we become part of what He is. We call Him our Lord. We say, come and fill me. Come. Be my Lord over my life. I surrender. I surrender all. You've got to surrender everything of your being, everything of your fiber to Him to totally become part of who He wants you to be. I wonder sometimes when people can't boldly go to the throne, they have not surrendered all of themselves to Him, so they're timid. They're shy. Oh, I don't want to go there. I still got some skeletons in my closet. Well, get rid of the skeletons in your closet. How? Ask for forgiveness. Confess them. Ask for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus to cleanse you of all sin. In John 16:33, for these things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace in the world. That in me you may have peace. You may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We have served, and we are serving, an overcomer. You know, when you've overcome something, how does that make you feel? Victorious. You've achieved. You've had the strength. You had the ability. Whatever the case might be, whatever it is, in little things or big things in our lives, we need to overcome things. And it might start out small. Overcome the little things and getting ready for the big things to come. Right? And one overcoming instance adds to another, and you begin to find out, with that of God on my side, I can overcome anything that this enemy of this world puts before me, as long as I allow my God, as he says, he will go before me and prepare the way for me, and I'm going to follow my God. But I have overcome the world. We too can overcome the world as long as we have Jesus as our Lord. 1 John 5:4-5. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith. It takes what to please God? Faith. Do you want to be a God pleaser?
Yeah.
Have faith. What overcomes the things of this world? Faith. My faith in God, my faith in his word, my faith in knowing what he has said he will do, what he has done, what he is going to do. I have faith in all of that. Don't ask me how it's going to work. Don't ask me how it's going to happen. I don't know. But I just know, don't you? And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our your faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You get into some talks about people out there where they don't think Jesus is the Son of God. He's just a man. He's just a prophet. He's not a son of God. Well, they don't have the fullness of the gospel. Then you get into some of those situations out there with some denominational things. They're all for God. But you bring up Jesus and they kind of, well, yeah, but he was just a man and he was a prophet. Well, they evidently, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is? So you got to get to that point and say, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, then you're not going to overcome this world. This world is going to eat you up because you're not taking the full or the totality of God's word. You're allowing sometimes your intellectual things, or you're allowing man's teachings that they can't see it, or they've got this verse and they've got this definitive thought of what this is all about. And they don't understand how this works, so he's got to be a man. Well, he was a man, but he was God first and came into earth. The incarnated man through that of the birth. We go through all of that. If we follow the historical things and the track record of what took place, it in my vision, in my faith, guess what? It all lines up. Yeah, it is what it is. It says what it says, and it does what it does. What was Popeye's thing when he used to say, I am what I am. I am what I am, and I be whatever. I don't know, but you got to get to the point where you just believe God's word. Don't let somebody try to take it. That person's trying to take it. I think the enemy's trying to snatch it from you. That's the thing that will snatch. You know, we talk about nothing can take you out of the grasp of God's hand. But you can allow yourself to be snatched when you begin to listen and begin to have these people share some of these things that begin to cause you to kind of start, rather than being totally that of God, you start kind of going this way a little bit because you start allowing that to get in your mind and you start thinking. And the more you think upon it, the so you do. And just give the enemy a crack like that into your thoughts, and he will jump into that crack, and he will begin to pollute anything and everything that you have gleaned out of God's word. And pretty soon, you got yourself so confused that you sometimes turn away totally from that of God. Have you seen people totally on fire for God, and then a decade later, they're away from God, 5 years from whatever the case is. They go, hey, what's going on? Well, you believe that stuff still? Yeah. To me, it's part of my fiber of my being. Oh, well, no. I went here and I learned this and we had this study. We began to, they're walking in doubt and disbelief. But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, yeah. In the Amplified, in those same verses there, 4 and 5, 1 John 5, and it says in the Amplified, for everyone, literally everything that is, okay, John here is using a Greek word that underscores the fact that everyone who has been born again, regardless of gender or age, is victorious over the world. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. There's that word again. What? Our faith. When you look at that, our faith, you would look at the Amplified expands it, our continuing faith, our persistent faith. You've got to have persistent faith to make it in this life. It's not a one and done thing of, oh, well, I got the faith. Your faith has to build. Your faith has to keep developing. Your faith has to be there on the forefront of everything you're going through and seeing and handling. You've got to have faith right there next to you and hold on to it. Born of God, victorious and overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world, our continuing and persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who is the one who is victorious, and he overcomes the world. And he did truly overcome the world, didn't he? Hanging on the cross, died. Put him in the tomb, dead. Open the tomb or go look, empty. Hello. It is the one who believes and recognizes, here again, the fact that Jesus is that of Son of God. Being victorious and overcoming the world makes us to be more than conquerors. Got to get that mentality. You've got to get that in your grain of fiber that you are an overcomer. And you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus in you. You are going to be able to take on the wiles of the devil. You're going to be able to stand. And when what else happens, if nothing else, stand. And it's still going on, stand. Don't back down. Don't give up. Don't turn away. Just stand and continue to hold it in prayer to say, God, go before me. God, put a hedge of protection around me. God, create a way where there seems to be no way. God, God, God. Well, how are you going to know what's going to happen? By faith. To me, it's the most simplest thing to deal with, faith. But some people make it out to be the hardest. His word says, come to me as little children. Little children. I am a little child to that of God. He said it, I believe it. My daddy said it, I trust it. Didn't we all, and for the most part, now some people are going to say, well, my dad was this, and my dad, my parents. But if you were blessed to have a good parenting system, pretty well what they said, you believed. You trusted your parents, you trusted your dad. I was blessed. In Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors. I think that's where we're just going to touch upon that. And you know what? We're going to call it a day. Romans 8:37. Yeah, God's everlasting love starts in Romans 8:31. And I had done this, and with this, I'm sorry, this is a repetition of a lot of things, but then it goes, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You got to walk that daily. Then it goes on, he who did not spare his own son, these things of some like three or four or five questions that are kind of like unanswerable, but they're all about him. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Verse 33. Who is the one who condemns? Verse 34. But then in 35, who shall separate us from this love of Christ? Shall your daily, this is, I'm improvising, adding this in, but daily tribulations or your daily distress, you know, shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it's written, for your sake we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But then 37, yet in all of these things, tribulations, being led to the slaughter, all this craziness going on, We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. More is super duper over and above. It's talking about the conqueror. This word that describes one who is super victorious. See, you got to know you're super victorious. There is nothing other than your MO is you're super victorious. How is this going to happen today? I'm victorious. Who wins more than an ordinary victory, but who is overpowering and achieving abundant victory. You're going to overpower the devil. Amen. Why? Because I'm more than a conqueror. And this word, more than a conqueror, tells me who wins more than an ordinary victory, but who is overpowering in achieving abundant victory. This is not the language of conceit, but of confidence. People are not confident in who they are in Christ. The devil has got enough lies into them that they cannot understand or they can't fathom of who they are in Christ. Why is that? Because they keep thinking about who they were before Christ. And if the devil can keep you thinking about who you were before, you're not going to remember or think about who you are now. But with God, you got to live in the now, because old things have passed away, all things become new. This is not the language of conceit, but of confidence. Christ's love, here it is, love, conquered death because of his love. We are more than conquerors. The victory for us is by that of Jesus' act on the cross, being raised from the dead. And it's also looking at the cross, and it's sustained by his love for me, love for you. This verse is a declaration of security for all believers that is promising that nothing can separate us from that of the love of God. Well, if somebody loves you, don't you think they're going to take care of you? We talk about in our natural things, tough love, and I believe there's times that God does kind of work with his children, giving us some tough love. You know, it's not all a bed of roses. And sometimes we need to look at ourselves and think like, well, what put me here? How come I'm here? What did I do? What didn't I do? But God will always make a way where there seems to be no way to get you back into where you need to be. But he wants you to pay attention. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This message should give us assurances that the trials cannot break the bond between us, the believer, and that of our God. But we become, these troubles, these tribulations, they actually become opportunities for God to do what? To display his power. To display his love. That's what it's all about. I know it's hard when you're in the battle, right? I know it's hard when it's in a hard situation that it's like, okay, God, this is pretty hard, pretty heavy right now with loved ones going through health situations, or I'm going through this, or I'm going through that, or we've got this, or whatever the case might be. But it's those times of when we're being buffeted and all these things that we come to understand, but God is still God, and he's going to get me through this. I don't know how long I will have to go through this, but God will be with me while I'm going through it. Even though I'm going through it, I need to keep my spirit man tuned into that of God to say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, how I love you, Lord. When all hell is breaking loose around me, I'm going to shout praises to my God, because he's going to be the one that's going to take care of all of that stuff breaking loose around me. And I know he will get me through it. He will give me the sustainability to handle it. And I will need to stand. And then I'll need to stand. Because I need to remember that I'm more than a conqueror. I got to remember that his love is never ending. I got to remember that he is there. The grace that he has for me is never ending. I got to remember that God loves me. Do you sense that to yourself? Heavenly Father, as we thank you for this day, thank you, Lord, for your power within us. Thank you, Lord, for that and the ability to take on the things of this world that we're in. Nothing surprises you. Nothing surprised Jesus when he was upon this earth. But he performed and did and fulfilled what he was to do. I pray, Lord, that we, Lord, now understand that for us today, we need to fulfill the call upon our lives that you have for us. And that when things get tough and when things get hard, Lord, we've got to remember that we are more than conquerors. That we got to know that, oh, Father, you are there with us. And that we have Jesus there at the right hand interceding for us. And that we are not left alone. That you're always there with us by that of the Holy Spirit. Enlighten us. Strengthen us. Encourage us. Give us peace. Give us patience, whatever it is, Lord, that we need. By that, just with the Holy Spirit in us, Lord. Let us know that we know you're with us. Bless each one here today as we leave and go out. Encourage them, strengthen them, meet their needs, I pray. In the precious name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, amen.